Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here at This Week with Dr. T. Each week, we get together with amazing guests and have conversations that are both interesting, and I find them very inspiring. I'm sure you do, too. If you've missed some of these great discussions, you can find them by becoming a podcast member. Go to drtenpenny.com, hover over the podcast tab. You will see two or three different membership levels. If you're an existing member, that's where you log in to look at past interviews and the deep dives if you're an existing member. If you're a new member, we've set up something completely new for you. It will not change anything that you've already signed up for, but we've tried to make it easier for everyone to join and to set up something that is available for everyone's time and budget. Now, before I introduce today's special guest, attorney Tom Renz, we're going to take a short break. Sit right back. You won't want to miss this fantastic discussion about some really important topics. Sit there, we'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Well, welcome back, everyone. Let me introduce to you today's special guest, attorney Tom Renz. Tom Renz is a prominent American attorney, political commentator, educator, advocate, businessman, patriot, my attorney, and my friend. Tom has gained international attention for his work challenging pandemic-related policies and vaccine mandates, advocating for individual liberties and medical freedom and informed choice. Renz's legal expertise and relentless advocacy have established him as a leading voice in our fight for freedoms. Tom's mentor was a Nuremberg prosecutor. He served as the only American to ever serve with the Honorable Justice Tarun Chatterjee of the Supreme Court of India and was rewarded nationally for political action. Tom believes in the freedom of fighting for our kids' future. He's not running for anything, and he doesn't even charge a whole lot for his work, and we all yell at him about that very frequently. Tom simply wants to make sure there's freedom and a strong country for his kids and all the rest of our kids to grow up in. He's a fighter and at peace with it. Tom, good morning, and welcome to This Week with Dr. T.
Sherry, I'm so excited to be here. I mean, you're one of my dearest friends. For anybody watching, Sherry is one of my closest friends. She's guided me through so many things. And honestly, if I've done anything in health freedom, it was only because I was able to stand on the shoulders of people like you.
Well, thank you. That's a really nice thing to say. I can't say that that's all true, but thank you. So let's start with Ohio. Since you and I are both from Ohio, you're from, you know, Fremont, Ohio, which is kind of north central. I'm from Cleveland. There are a lot of health freedom fighters here in Cleveland, in the state of Ohio, that do a lot of things. But you recently testified about HB House Bill 73 in Ohio. What is it? What is it about? And why is it important?
Well, as you know, Sherry, probably better than anybody, during COVID, we knew that ivermectin worked. We knew that HCQ had a place. We knew that budesonide worked. We knew that there were safe and effective treatments for COVID. And we knew that they worked much better than the death protocols that people were forced to take in hospitals. The problem is, though, is that the doctor-patient relationship in the United States is so screwed up that it didn't matter if you had a prescription for ivermectin. It didn't matter if you had a prescription for budesonide. You'd go to the hospital. The hospital would say, you can't have that. And then they'd let you die on their remdesivir vent protocols. So on one side, you have a hospital that's getting paid more when you get diagnosed with COVID, paid more when they put you on remdesivir, paid more when you get onto a vent, and then more again when you die. And on the other, you have patients who have doctors available that are willing to prescribe them life-saving drugs, but they're not allowed to have access because the hospital can't make as much money. House Bill 73 fixes that. House Bill 73 recenters the doctor-patient relationship on the doctor-patient. And, you know, Sherry, as a doctor, you know this intuitively, but as a lawyer, I can tell you that the way the legal structure is in the United States, the doctor-patient relationship, except for where you have independent practitioners like Sherry, but even where you do, there's still limitations. The doctor-patient relationship in this country is superseded by the doctor-hospital relationship, the doctor-payer relationship, and the doctor-regulator relationship. So when you go to the doctor, unless you go to an independent doctor like Sherry, and there's very few of them left, that doctor is going to listen to you. He's going to type your symptoms into your electronic medical records, care of Obamacare, and then he's going to get a list of approved tests or treatment options. And it doesn't matter what he wants to do, that's what he can do. With House Bill 73, if you've got a doctor who's willing to actually think and do the right thing, they can prescribe you something, and the hospitals, the pharmacists, no one else can interfere with that doctor-patient relationship. So it really is about recentering it on the doctor and patient.
And how is it going? I mean, where are we with the bill in Ohio, and where are we with maybe passing this? Is it out of committee yet?
Well, it was very, very overwhelmingly supported in the House with bipartisan support. I mean, we had a huge, huge bipartisan support for this bill in the House. And we got to the Senate, and it's sitting in the Health Committee at the Senate right now. Now, I don't know Steve Huffman. I met him the first time when I testified at his committee the other day, and I don't know much about him. But Steve Huffman right now is seeming to me, if the stories are correct, very disingenuous. He seems to be holding up the bill. Now, Steve Huffman is a Republican, and he's chair of the Health Committee in the Ohio Senate. And he keeps putting out these questions and these issues on this bill that are absolutely irrelevant. They're incorrect. They're really not based on anything other than a lobbyist trying to give him an excuse to dodge a bill. At this point, what we're seeing is we started out and he was questioning whether or not the bill expands abortion. Now, Sherry, you know that I am an ardent pro-life supporter, right? I mean, I am 100% against abortion. So I testified, and I said to that issue, one of the things that I testified about. And legally, in Ohio, we passed issue one. It was a travesty. We should never have passed it. But issue one made sure that Ohio has some of the most expansive abortion rights in the planet. We cannot have greater access to abortion than we do under our constitutional amendment issue one. That's horrible. We should repeal it. We should fix it, this, that, and other. But this bill cannot expand those abortion rights further. We, by constitution, by amendment, already have the most expansive abortion rights that you can possibly have under the law. So this bill can't do anything to expand that. So the idea that this would somehow expand access to abortion is absolutely absurd. You just can't expand it. So what we're seeing is this bill is now being held up, and I'm starting to ask the question, because I'm getting a lot of reports from a lot of people that Huffman is just looking for excuses to hold this up. Why? It was supported massively, bipartisan. It's a very well-written bill. It's a very carefully written bill. And this nonsense that he's doing, these BS arguments like it's going to expand abortion, that's disingenuous. I can tell you, Sherry, how this works behind the scenes. So what happens is you get a guy who is a committee chair, and he's got a bill, and you've got very powerful special interests like the hospital associations or the pharmacy associations or Big Pharma. They don't want this bill to pass because this bill would destroy their ability to have a disease X emergency. It would destroy their ability to force vaccines for, that are emergency use authorization. Because if there's alternative effective treatments, which we'd be able to find if this bill passes, there'd be no reason for the emergency use authorization. So this bill could actually torpedo the globalist plans on a lot of this stuff. But Huffman doesn't want it, because his special interests are telling him, you got to stop this at all costs. So what they do is the lobbyists will sit behind the scenes and they'll come up with a bunch of things that look reasonable. And they'll say, hey, tell your base you can't support it because it's going to expand abortion. It's a lie. It's not going to expand abortion. This bill isn't going to do anything bad. No bill, it comes without other, without consequences. All law has consequences. This bill is very carefully crafted. It's very well done, and there are no valid reasons to oppose this bill, none whatsoever. Anything that he's got is going to be some little sliver of an issue that he's going to try and play as a big thing. So what this comes down to is whether Steve Huffman supports a patient's right to have a good relationship with his doctor that's not interfered with by the pharmacies or the hospitals, or whether Steve Huffman is more interested in special interest money than he is the patient and the doctor relationship.
Well, I would encourage everyone who's listening to this, because this is really a very clearly laid out what this is, to start hammering your representatives to get this bill passed and start hammering, what's his name, Steve, what's his last name?
Huffman.
Steve Huffman, about why he needs to stop holding this up. And that means making phone calls. Don't send them emails, because they don't have, that, you know, people, they won't get them, because what happens at the state level is very different than at the national level. At the national level, they have staffs and they have, you know, assistants, and they have emails and they have people that man them. At the state level, they don't have that. They have their own emails. And if you can imagine getting a couple million emails from a whole bunch of people, they don't get them. But they do get faxes, and they do get phone messages. So, you know, and they tally them. It really does make a difference. So everybody here that's from Ohio, that's even listening, that's supporting this bill for Ohio, because Ohio is a great state that has gone from red to dark purple, essentially blue. And it's really a sad thing. And we need to get it back. We need to take it back with as many health freedom fighters that are in this state. We need to get all of them activated to get this bill passed, because now that the international health regulations have passed, we have to do everything that we can locally to protect our local people. They're trying to pass things. There was just a thing that they were trying to pass in Florida yesterday that said that they were naming the UN, the WEF, and the WHO as terrorist organizations, and the committee would not allow it to a vote. And so they're doing everything they can to kill this country. We, the people, have to stand up and really push hard on our, quote, elected, and I'll say, quote, air quotes, elected representatives, because these people are elected by us, but then they are controlled by others. And so we have to push really hard to get what we want done in this. And this whole thing with House Bill 73. So when you call down there, I mean, you can just call up, you know, look up on Google, you know, the Ohio State, Ohio State representatives. You can get the every name, one of them, every one of them have a phone number. You can just call every, just go, you know, spend an hour, print that list out, spend an hour, just go down the list and call everyone and say, I am from such and such county, and I'm asking you to please vote yes on House Bill 73. See if we can't get that moving.
Well, we need to. So, you know, Sherry, one of the things that's happening is we know disease X is coming. So, for example, we know that they're already buying millions and millions of doses of mRNA vaccines for the bird flu. And remember, the flu vaccine falls under completely different law than the COVID vaccine. So the mRNA that they're now going to put into the flu vaccine will be able to be mandated, and you will not have the protections under the law. Now, you remember how weak those protections were for the COVID vaccines, and that was under emergency use authorization. This is going to be an amended and approved vaccine.
Under an EUA. I saw that 3 days ago, Tom, that they want to they don't want to do any experimentation. They don't want to do any investigation on the bird flu vaccine because they said we've already got it done. It's already was approved in 2005 because I wrote a book about it in real time at that time. And they've already got one approved, so they don't have to do it again. So they're going to re-release it under an EUA. I think that the pharmaceutical industry and our government has found kind of a loophole of the size that you could drive a semi-truck through called the emergency use authorization, and they're going to be using it for everything.
Well, the problem is, Sherry, is that it's a combination of the use of EUA, and then they're playing games with the approval process, and essentially they're circumventing the law. And I think that there's a good lawsuit to be filed on this. It's a very strong lawsuit that could be filed. And I'm hoping that, you know, at some point we'll get a little bit of funding so that we can actually file it. Unfortunately, at this point, I'm just not able to fund these out of my pocket anymore because I've already used all my money filing these lawsuits. But the reality is that there's a very strong lawsuit that needs to be filed on this related to the major questions doctrine. And essentially, you know, what they're doing is they're playing these different games to dodge the traditional and the expected approval process that exists under the law. And it's illegal, but they're doing it anyways because they don't care. So, you know, this is the thing that's coming. The disease X is coming. Right. We know whether it's the bird flu or something else. I would expect it to be some variation of the flu, but I don't know what it's going to be. And the reason I say a variation of the flu is the law related to flu vaccines is much more established than like a new novel type thing. So whatever it's going to be, they're going to call it flu related or something that's already established. That way they don't have to deal with the authorization issues in the same way that they would otherwise. So what'll happen then is if we have a House Bill 73 in place, then we'll be able to say, listen, I don't need an mRNA treatment. I don't need a poison vaccine. There are effective treatments outside of that because doctors can innovate. House Bill 73 allows doctors to innovate. It allows scientists to innovate, right? Right now, the scientists are being constrained. They don't want them to innovate. They don't want them to find ivermectin for the next disease. They don't want them to find HAQ for disease X. They want to limit and tie their hands so they have to use whatever Fauci says or whatever bureaucrat's in charge. They want to make sure that we're stuck with those government protocols so they can kill as many of us as they want and move on. For us, if one state passes a House Bill 73, then you have a control group, right? You have a national control group that's the size of a whole state. So then in Ohio, if we've got this, doctors and patients can work together and find solutions. And you know, once a state knows, there's no way to cover it up. That's too many people. It's too big. So it will spread throughout the country like wildfire. And there is no way to stop that. It literally, House Bill 73 could literally protect the entire country from the next pandemic. But we just have to get around the Republican sellout who seems to be holding this up. There is no reason for this bill to be held up. This is one of the most carefully written bills I've seen in the entire country on a health freedom issue. Wow. This bill was written, I mean, these guys bent over backwards to cover everything. And, you know, nitpicking about stupid little side issues that are going to affect, you know, maybe 0.25% or less of the people is absurd. There is no way you can pass any bill in this country that doesn't have secondary effects at this point. And the idea that we're going to hold this up over things like abortion, which are untrue, or other nonsensical issues is just absurd. You either support health freedom, doctors' abilities to innovate, and protecting the doctor-patient relationship, or you don't. And that's what this comes down to.
Wow, that's really powerful statement, Tom. So again, all of you that are listening, please get on the horn, get on the phone, and call the state representatives and the state Senate in Ohio and say, please pass House Bill 73, because it's so, so important. And like Tom has very clearly laid out, that if this gets passed, and I think that's probably why they're holding it up, because if it gets passed, it becomes a precedent to stamp across the rest of the country, at least in the states that are getting it, like Tennessee and Oklahoma and Louisiana, that are open to understand, and Florida, that are getting what's happening with these international health regulations, which in the we're going to take just a couple more minutes before our break here, Tom. But what is your thoughts about the passage of the international health regulations that just happened a couple days ago?
With the WHO, I mean, listen, this isn't a surprise. I mean, this we could see coming a mile away. We know what's going on with it. You know, this is just a power grab. That's why bills like House Bill 73 are so important. You know, House Bill 73 also prevents any state money from being spent to enforce any WHO regulations, right? So it has that impact as well. And more importantly, again, it allows science to exist and for innovation to occur, which means that we have a chance to actually show when the WHO, which is the most fraudulent and corrupt organization on the planet, or at least amongst them, when the WHO puts out their nonsense about everybody needing to be round up and vaxxed, this will give us an opportunity to say, no, look, we found ivermectin in Ohio. We know better. And it will really, this is, like I said, House Bill 73 is a solution for so many things on so many levels. And that's why it's being opposed, right? That's it. The lobbyists, what they do is the big pharma lobbyists, the big hospital, the big money lobbyists. What they do is they look for someone who is willing to sell out. Now, I'm not saying yet that Huffman's a sellout. It might just be that he's legitimately looking at these issues and thinking, you know, this is it. He's wrong, though. He's wrong. He may not be a sellout, but he's definitely wrong. There is no issue with this bill. It is one of the best written bills out there. And at the end of the day, I am about a half second away from calling him a sellout and going after him. Because right now, there is no legitimate excuse for this bill to be held up. None. This is 100% a strong bill. The excuses we're seeing, I'm looking at, hopefully by the end of the day today, I'll have a Substack ready to go out dealing with the next set of BS issues that he's got coming out on this. And, you know, they're BS. They're BS. It's absolute garbage. There's one thing after another. And all this is lobbyists trying to delay it long enough that the bill goes away. That's all this is, because they know they can't stop the bill. And, you know, once we get through Huffman, we'll have to get through DeWine, who will probably veto it because he's a crook. And
absolutely
then from there,
a crook.
From there, I hope I'm wrong. You never know. He might decide to do the right thing for a change. But, you know,
that
from there.
That is laughable, you know. That is laughable.
Hey, I always try and give people the benefit of the doubt. Everybody can be redeemed, right? But if we can get there, then, you know, that could potentially really, like I said, be a game changer nationally on this. So I'm praying that this works out.
Well, that's great. So we're talking with Attorney Tom Renz this morning in Ohio about House Bill 73 and the importance of getting this passed. So if you're listening to this now or in the future, while it's still pending, and please get hold of your state representatives and your state senators. You can find that by going to ohio.gov, and all their names and all their phone numbers are all listed there. Print them out and just spend an hour just sitting down, because you don't have to talk to these people very long. Somebody answers the phone, or you get a message and they say, yes, how can I help you? And they say, hi, my name is such and such. I'm calling from such and such county. I'm calling to support House Bill 73. How long did it take for me to say that? Like less than 10 seconds. And that's all you need to say. You don't have to get into explaining it or why you're defending it or any of those things. You're just calling to voice your support for this bill. You know, the first few times that I did this, it was kind of scary because you didn't know who you were going to get or what you had to explain or you had to. They don't care. They really don't care.
No.
It's just you just calling and voicing that, you know, you're from such and such county. That's important. If you're calling, you know, because then they kind of make a little tally mark and they see which parts of the state are supporting this. But that's all you need to say is, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm from such and such county. I'm calling to support House Bill 73. And if you're calling Steve Hoffman, this one of the state senators' office, you can call his office specifically and say, you know, please move this bill forward. I'm calling with my support for House Bill 73. And hang up. Go on to the next phone call. That's all it takes. It's not scary. It's not time consuming. You don't have to engage in any conversations. You don't have to defend it. You just have to vote with your voice. And it's really, really important.
Well, so and I'll tell you, if you really want to feel a little bit better, just tell them, if they say, well, why do you support this? Say, because I support the doctor-patient relationship being between the doctor and the patient, not the doctor, not the patient in the hospital, the patient, the insurer, and patient, the regulator. I want to be able to get my medicine from my doctor.
Very good. So with that, we're going to take a really quick break. We have some more really important information coming up right on the other side of this break. So sit tight. We'll be right back. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Well, welcome back, everyone. This morning, we're talking to attorney Tom Rentz. We have been talking on our first half of the show about House Bill 73 here in Ohio. Please, please, please call. Even if you're not from Ohio, please call and say, I understand, you know, if they ask you and you say, I'm from Indiana or from Illinois or Pennsylvania, you can say, I am really supporting this because I know the national impact that this can take. If they ask you, why are you calling from out of state? That can be a thing. So we are talking again with attorney Tom Rentz. He's spoken to dozens of events and has reached more than 60 million impressions despite censorship and successfully making more snowflakes cry than anyone else I know. So what's going on with you personally, Tom? You've told me on the side that they are coming after you personally because you have really taken the main players to task. What's happening with that and what can we do to help?
Well, honestly, what I'm dealing with is no different than what Donald Trump or, you know, any of these other guys are dealing with, right? So they come after you, including you, Sherry. I mean, you know, once you fight, you become a target. The latest and probably the biggest thing I'm dealing with right now is I've had a judge, and it's an interesting thing. I filed a case for free on behalf of some Ohio small businesses that were locked down during COVID. And I mean, the effects were devastating on them. And I didn't charge for the case. I've never fundraised off the case. I actually testified under oath to that. Now I'm fundraising off the case, but to this point I haven't. And the reason I'm doing it now is because the judge, who I really can't find any legitimate basis for what he's doing. I just think he's either wrong or corrupt, one of the two. But the judge has actually sanctioned me to, and he's gone after me personally. So my house, my car, he sanctioned me and my co-counsel in this case personally. And this is the same judge who the Sixth Circuit acknowledged was wrong because he had an ex parte meeting with the opposition counsel in a different case that I had filed, an unrelated case. So in an unrelated case, another COVID case, this judge had a private meeting with opposition counsel and, you know, then changed the case, right? So you can't do that. So he got in trouble with the Sixth Circuit from that. And so then in this case, he decides he's going to sanction me. And he sanctioned me for two reasons. He said that the case was frivolous and that I had vexatiously multiplied the proceedings. Well, I can deal with both of those real quickly, right? So this case was granted oral arguments in the Sixth Circuit. So I went down to the Sixth Circuit and I argued before the Sixth Circuit and I made the case there. And they agreed with me in part. I didn't get the win, but they agreed with me in part. According to the Sixth Circuit rules, and I am literally reading to you from their rules, that says the Sixth Circuit will not grant oral arguments if they determine, number one, and this is a quote, the appeal is frivolous. They can't grant oral arguments on a frivolous appeal. This wasn't a frivolous case by the Sixth Circuit's own rule. Yet this judge, who is under the Sixth Circuit, is calling it frivolous. Not only did the Sixth Circuit say it's not frivolous, I had six licensed attorneys from around the country who all testified under oath that they had reviewed, looked at, and were part of the development of this case, and that it was done well and with good intent, and it met the ethical standards. And then I was the seventh attorney to testify. They also testified that I did not vexatiously multiply proceedings, which I didn't. The only thing that I did in this case was file the case and then file a response to the motion to dismiss. That's it. How is that multiplying anything? I literally did the bare minimum up through the appeal, did the appeal. This guy said it was frivolous and vexatiously multiplied. I had six licensed attorneys from around the country, very good, very high profile, good, powerful attorneys, all testified in my favor for 3 days. Mm. At the end of my 6-hour testimony on the third day, the lawyers for the other side withdrew their evidence and didn't even cross-examine me.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Because it was that definitive. There is no question that what I did was correct. And yet this judge, despite there being literally zero evidence on record, zero of any wrongdoing, and 3 days worth of evidence and the Sixth Circuit as evidence against the for me, showing that I did the right thing, he still ruled against me without any evidence or cause. Why? I can only guess. I mean, I've read his response, and I frankly think it's absolute garbage. It doesn't. It absolutely ignores the testimony. It absolutely ignores evidence. It absolutely ignores everything. If this isn't an abuse of discretion, I've never seen one. This is one of the most. And you know, I mean, listen, I'm partial because I'm fussy about it. But here's the thing. I'm now left in a position. So after doing this, I was offered, a deal to not appeal. Here's the problem. If I accept that deal, it saves me a lot of money and saves my house and saves my this and saves my that. But it's then the precedent stands. And when we have the next set of lockdowns, it will make it very hard for attorneys to file this kind of case. And it was a good case. The Sixth Circuit said it wasn't a bad case. We have a judge that to me seems less than honest ruling against me despite the evidence, but the Sixth Circuit didn't entirely disagree with me. It's not a bad case. If I don't fight this, then they'll use this ridiculous precedent from this judge to try and sanction attorneys in the future, just like they do with election cases. So I don't feel like I have a choice. So I prayed and I talked to God and I felt like the right thing to do is to fight this. And I haven't spoken out about this at all until, just here about, since we made this decision. But the reality is that if I don't fight this, I'm not doing the right thing for our country and for the fight. And so, I've long since, and you've heard me on interviews and you've heard me say, I'll fight this from under a bridge embankment if I gotta. Well, I'm putting my money where my mouth is, right? So anyways, we've got a Wren's Law, Give, Send, Go. If you go to Give, Send, Go and search Wren's Law, you'll find it. We need to raise a lot of money. A lot of money. It's not a little bit of money. The costs, the legal costs, especially if this ends up going to the Supreme Court or something. I mean, we're going to the Sixth Circuit right now, and hopefully we win there. We should, but you never know. But I'll take this as far as I have to, but you can't be your own doctor. You can't be your own attorney. So I've got a wonderful, wonderful attorney who's done a great job. I've worked with him closely. Rick Alkire, God bless the man, has done a wonderful job on this. And we're doing everything that we can. We've got a very strong case record, but I just, I prayed about what to do, right or easy. The easy thing is to just walk away. The right thing is to fight. And we're taking the tough road.
Wow, Tom. Well, this is really, again, another important precedent, just like SB 73, that we have to do for the whole country. Your lawsuit and getting this judge, his knuckles smacked really good by the Sixth Circuit. What's the thing that they accuse you of? Vexatious something?
So when you file a lawsuit,
what does that mean?
So as a lawyer, if you file a whole bunch of really bad lawsuits on the same issue just to basically harass someone, that's illegal. You can't do that, right? You can file a case against someone. And if it's an issue, you can file it. You got to file your cases in good faith, right? You can't just harass someone. If the courts say, so if I sued DeWine for, you know, shutting down the businesses under a takings theory 10 times, that would be vexatious multiplication, right? If I had the same clients and I kept filing the same case in the same way over and over again, that'd be what's called vexatious multiplication of the proceedings. And what it means is I'm just essentially using the courts to harass someone. In this case, the only thing I did was file the case and respond to the motion to dismiss. That is literally the minimum I could do to appeal it. So there was no, I mean, there's literally no way to argue that there is any vexatious multiplication of proceedings. So, you know, I mean, it's just simply invalid. There's nothing multiplied. I did the minimum. And there were no other cases like this. I hadn't filed any other cases like this. There were a lot of other COVID cases, but they were different clients on different issues. And the whole COVID lockdown thing covers a lot of different things. But there was no vexatious, there was no multiplication of anything. We did what you're supposed to do under the rules of ethics. But the judge has been looking for a reason to get to this outcome. It's very clear if you look at the case record. He's looking, and I've actually said to him in court, I said, Your Honor, with due respect, it looks like you're looking for an outcome rather than trying to get to the end of the case here. And of course,
he denied that. Did you get a response from that?
He denied it. But at the end of the day, there's no evidence to get this. In this case record, the law of this case is based on the record of this case. And there is no evidence in this case or elsewhere of any of these issues. And in fact, six other attorneys agreed with me. The Sixth Circuit agreed that it wasn't frivolous. There's no grounds for what he's doing, but he's doing it anyways. We need desperately, desperately to reform our justice system where crooked judges can be held accountable in courts without fear of repercussion from the attorneys. I would sue his ass in a minute if I wasn't going to lose my license for doing it. And if I do it, I will guarantee you there's a practical reality. If I sue a federal or a state judge, I'm going to end up probably sanctioned and probably losing my license. And it doesn't matter how corrupt they are. That's why Judge Merchant, that's why the crew down there with Fannie and Georgia, that's why they're able to do this to Donald Trump, to Alex Jones, to all these people, because there's no way to hold a judge accountable before the law. But the judges are breaking the law in many cases, in my opinion. And unless we can hold them accountable without fear of repercussion, we're in serious trouble.
Wow. And where can we support you, Tom? Say that again. It's a give, send, go. And yes. How can we support you? Because we really need this number one, top of the line out there. You know, how many times, Tom, have I got on your case about getting more sleep? Because he goes for days with, you know, no sleep or an hour sleep or a nap here or there, because he's working for us and he's doing things to get the word out and literally get the word out, get the word of God out, get the word out about the what's happening inside of our poorest people in this country, get the word out about the COVID nonsense that was happening. He's fighting tirelessly for us. And I think that we need to come up to the plate, literally to the plate, and to be able to donate to support his cause. His wife is going through breast cancer. He's got two kids. He's on the road all the time. And it's really my honor to be able to be a person that gets behind you and supports you through your give, send, go to support what you need, Tom, to fight for us for the future. So again, tell people where they can find your particular donation button.
Yeah, so you can find a link to it on tomrens.com, and anything you buy or support us there with will help. But the main thing that we're doing is the give, send, go / Wren's Law. If you search for Wren's Law, give, send, go, you'll find us. You know, I've got the latest update there, and we'll update as this continues. You know, it'll be a little bit slow because it's a process, but it's something that is ongoing. We're working on it as quickly as we can, and we're doing everything we can. But basically, we have to fight this. We have to fight this. You know, Sherry, for 4 years, I mean, you've seen the pace that I've kept. You've seen what I do.
Yeah.
I've given everything I got on this, and I ain't about to
Absolutely.
back down. I don't care what it costs. I promise God, and you know this, I've talked about it publicly. I promised God at the beginning. I promised him that if he put the fight in front of me, that I'd fight it. Well, that promise didn't mean up until it gets hard. It meant that I'm going to fight it, period. So that is what we're going to do. And this is the, I always ask people to support the fight, support this, support that. This is the first time that I've ever had to come out and personally ask for help. And I really, it's embarrassing. It's a hard thing to do. It's not something, I mean, you know me, as toxically masculine and awful as you can be on these things. I don't like it, but at the end of the day, God sometimes asks us to humble ourselves. And so that's, I am with great humility praying that the people who are the people will help us, because there's no way to do that. There is no big money pocket that's going to come and give me some big surprise or something like that. I mean, we've had some big donors over time, relatively big for us anyways, and God bless them, and I'm grateful. But the reality is that we're gonna either get through this because we the people support it, or I'm not. And either way, I'm gonna keep my promise to God, but it just, I guess, where I end up when I'm done.
That's wonderful, Tom. So go to givesendgo/Renslaw, Renzlaw, Renslaw, and do whatever you can. Every dollar, every $5, every $10 counts. I mean, look at what happened after Trump's verdict. He raised $53 million from
Praise
people, and
God.
people mostly giving in $5 and $10 amounts, because
Yep.
we understand that America's hurting right now. In terms of disposable income, I mean, salaries haven't risen with the inflationary rate that's going on. So much of the extra money that people may have had, even if it was small, is now being gobbled up with taxes and food and gasoline and, different things like that. And so maybe this week, if there was some extra $5 extra you have, please consider giving it to Tom, support Tom in this case by going to givesendgo/Renslaw, or go to renslaw.com, or and to find the donate button and support this cause, because it's really, really important of what he's doing and continuing to try to fight for us. And Tom, I'm going to see you here in a couple of days in Detroit. When are you speaking at the Reawaken America Tour in Sterling, Michigan? Which is, people keep talking about Detroit, and then some people get a little freaked out about having to go to Detroit. But this is really in Sterling, Michigan, which is about 35 minutes or so north of Detroit. It's a North Detroit suburb. It's a really nice place up there. It's really nice. It's at a big location. Clay Clark is saying that this is going to be his last event. He might do one more in the fall, but there's no guarantees of that. And this is a great place to get together and stay motivated. My talk is going to be on the 10 reasons to stay in the fight. And so you're going to be up there when, and what can we do to give Clay a plug for his event? Because there's tickets that are still available.
Yep, not many, I believe. I believe it's pretty close. And I would urge anybody, especially my Ohio brothers and sisters, listen, this is a short drive. You can get up there an hour and a half or so, and it is a nice place. And I mean, I'll tell you, there's good people. I'm doing a lot of work in Michigan right now. And even I will tell you, Detroit is got a lot of good, amazing people in it. So even if it was in Detroit, I'd tell you to go. But Sterling is a really nice
Really
suburb up
nice.
north. And so I would urge everybody to get up there, and I will be speaking on Friday, just after noon, I believe at 1 or 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. And I'm looking forward to it. I'll be up there all 3 days. I'll get up there Thursday, and I'll be there Friday and Saturday. And I'm hoping to be able to be a part of the events on Thursday. I'll see what time I can get there. It'll depend on the work day. From there, we're going to be probably talking about a few different things, but right now, actually, so we've actually through my charity, because we have a charity for GodFamilyCountry.org, and with that, we've started doing some work on cancer because of my wife. Yeah, my wife has stage 4 breast cancer, and we've been fighting that for a while. And I've learned more about cancer than I did about COVID, because I have a very good reason to learn it. And I will tell you guys, there are a lot of issues with cancer. I'm going to probably, if she feels up to it, I'm going to probably bring my wife up on stage and introduce her to the universe, because she feels that she's called to help educate and to support encourage people who are fighting cancer. So I'm going to probably, we'll see how she feels. Nothing's for sure, because like I said, she's stage four and she's been going through a rough go. If she's capable, she's going to come up on stage, and she, we got a little booth. We're going to sell our books and our shirts and stuff like that. So, you know, she'll probably be there as well for a little bit on Friday. That's the plan right now. So we've got all sorts of big things planned. Of course, I got my speech, which I'm not going to tell you about yet. You have to stay tuned, but lots of big things. And I would urge people to get up there. You know, I don't know whether Clay is doing another one. I do know that it's a very important thing and a very important time. And I pray to God that he'll guide my tongue in what I have to say, and that he'll allow us to inspire and motivate people and to educate them about things that they may not be aware of, and really have an opportunity to really blow this up. So that's my prayer. We'll see what happens.
That sounds good. Well, Tom, I'm really grateful and honored for you, your generosity of your time. I've learned a lot of things about your case, about HB 73, and people can go to givesendgo.com/Renslaw to support you. You can also go to his regular website, which is tomrens.com, isn't it? Isn't that what
you're
saying?
Tomrens.com.
It's really straightforward to follow all the podcasts that he does. He does a lot of speaking. Also, his charity that he started. Also, you know, to buy his t-shirts and his swag and things like that. So as we close out today, I want to say a special thanks to everyone who joins us here each week and to our premium podcast members. And Tom is going to stay with us for a few more minutes to be able to talk about some more things on a personal level that you may not know about Tom, which will give you a bigger understanding for what he does and why you support him. So he's going to be doing us for our deep dive, our recording yet this morning for our premium podcast members. And it is Monday. So Monday night, tonight is our 10 Penny Files on Your Health, where we bring you topics to improve your health and well-being on brightian.tv at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., remember to join me live for the live coffee with Dr. T, which is open forum question and answers. Tuesday night is happy hours guest night, where we have authors and pastors and Christian businessmen and women to discuss Bible prophecy, current events, and how they can best share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. Be sure to join us for a lively discussion and a time of prayer. And then Thursday night, we do happy hour solo or special biblical educational series. And of course, you will also find us at Critically Thinking with Dr. P and Dr. T at 7 p.m. We've been doing this now for almost 4 years. It's been an amazing journey, and we love to have you with us every week. That sometimes it's really lively, sometimes it's kind of quiet, but we're really glad to see you there at Critically Thinking with Dr. P and Dr. T on Thursday night at 7 p.m. So for our premium podcast members, Tom is going to stay with us here for just a few minutes. Be sure to check your podcast portal for any of the deep dives that you may have missed in the past. They are just spectacular interviews, and they're only for our podcast members. And with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. Until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust him through everything. Tom, thank you so much for being here with us today. And remember to go to givesendgo.com/Renslaw to support you in your journey. So to everyone, have a great week. To Tom, we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Goodbye, and God bless everyone.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.